Got to be with him a number of times every year for the last 19 years, I guess. I tried to figure it out. I couldn't get an exact number, but I'll take 19. Sounds good to me. And we just had some good times of fellowship, and always been impressed by their love for God. And I tell you, they love you. You just can't get in a conversation with them about them talking about you and how wonderful you are. And they really have a heart for your well-being and for the good things in your life. And I don't know if you are aware of it or not, but you're blessed.
Amen.
This is a divine gift that God has placed here in this church, and it's just a tremendous blessing. We did pastor for 26 years. We pioneered a church in a town in Oklahoma. It's called Prague. Of course, they say things different in Oklahoma. You probably already gathered that the way I'm talking. But Prague, Oklahoma, but it's really a Czechoslovakian town from Prague, Czech Republic. And we pioneered a church there. And just this past June, we, under the direction of God, turned the church over to some other pastors. They're doing good and they're going on, and God gave us a new assignment. And we're really excited about our new assignment, and it certainly is different. And we're learning how to be traveling ministers. And that's a different transition, but we're having a real, real good time. Before I get into the word that I believe the Lord has given to me for you today, I want to give you a commercial. You know, it's just not the 21st century without a commercial, seems like. Everything's got their deal. But we've brought a book with us that I believe in with my whole heart. And the book is titled Moving On Up. How many wants to move up? How many know up's the direction you want to go? All right. And this is written by one of my four crazy friends. Now, you're all looking at me kind of funny. Let me explain that just a little bit. Because, you see, Mark Hankins was preaching a message at Rhema one time about these four guys who picked up their buddy and carried him up to the top of the house and ripped the roof off and let him down in front of Jesus, and he got healed. And in the midst of that, Brother Hankins says, you know, everybody just needs four crazy friends. People who won't let anything stop them from helping you overcome whatever obstacle is in your life. And Brother Yoder is one of my four crazy friends. I consider your pastor one of my four crazy friends. And I don't emphasize the word crazy there. I do emphasize the word friends. Okay, but anyway, Brother Yoder is one of my four crazy friends. He's the Dean of Students at Rhema Bible Training Center and Associate Pastor there. And this book deals with one of the most important subjects, I believe, in the church today, the renewing of the mind. And I'm sure you've heard a lot about that. I'm sure you've been taught some excellent things about that. But I've read a number of books on that subject, and I've never read a book that come even close to this book. It's very comprehensive. It covers the whole spectrum, the why, the how, the what, the how the mind works, and everything. You know, if you don't get your thinking right, you won't get your believing right. If you don't get your believing right, you won't get your saying right. If you don't get your saying right, you won't get your receiving right. And you won't like what you get. And a lot of people, they try to change their saying, and they'll say the right thing for the right for a while, but all of a sudden they find themselves saying the wrong thing. Why? Because they didn't go back far enough and make the changes. The changes must be up here first, and you start thinking. God said, my ways are higher than your ways. Well, you know, I've looked at some of my ways, and I'm sure glad God's is higher than mine. Amen. And God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and I'm glad they are. And a lot of times the church world has read those verses and think, oh, yes, bless God, they're so far up there. They're just out of reach. God said, no, they're not. They're right here. You want to know what I think about it? Here it is. I'll tell you exactly what I think about it, and I intend you to start thinking this way. So when you start thinking the way God thinks, guess what? All of a sudden, the promises of God become a reality in your life. So those books will be for sale out in the foyer someplace. They got them set up out there somewhere. And if you want to be blessed, why, you just pick up on that book and digest it and begin to think like God thinks. Brother Hagin, Dad Hagin said, the number one need in the church today is to have its mind renewed. The number one need. And of course, you know, every time you read a scripture, the intent of that scripture is to renew your mind. Every time you read something, every time you hear a sermon, every time your pastor gets up, the purpose is to have your thinking begin to align with God's thinking. I was telling Pastor Jan earlier, we had a couple next to us get born again. And they lived next to us there in Prague, and they were an elderly couple. And the thing that really impressed me was the reason he wanted to get saved. The gentleman was, he come to me one day and he says, "I like the way you think." Well, it wasn't my original thoughts, you understand. I didn't make up those thoughts. I got them out of a good book. And I explained that to him, and he decided he wanted to be able to think the same way. He got born again the same day his wife got born again. And in a few years, they were elderly people, a few years, they went to be with Jesus. Praise God. Don't tell me how you think. Don't influence people. So if you're interested in that, you can pick that book up out there, and I know it will be a blessing to you. You know, some people have said since I've been here that your pastor and I kind of look alike. I count that as a compliment. But that reminds me of a story I heard. There was this lady, you know, she was pregnant. And she was driving down the road one day, and it was really close to time for her to be delivered. And she had this accident, automobile accident, and knocked her unconscious. And she was taken to the hospital, and she was unconscious for several months. And after about 4 or 5 months, she comes to, and she finds out that she had twins, had two babies. And she said, "Wow, we didn't know we was going to have two babies." And she says, "Oh, what did you name them?" And he said, "Well, we asked your brother, and he suggested some names." She says, "Oh, my God, he's an idiot. I wonder what in the world did he name my children?" And she said, "So what did you name them?" She says, "Well, we named the girl Denise." And she thought, "Oh, okay, I like that name." And she says, "Well, what did you name the boy?" He says, "The nephew." Hallelujah. So her worst fears came true. The things she feared came upon her. Amen. Let's pray tonight, or this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for the privilege of being here with your people. This great work that is taking place here in the Tacoma area and stretching around the world. We just ask, Father, that you would honor us this morning with your anointing, and that our hearts would be open to hear from heaven. We don't want to hear from men. We want to hear from you, Father. And we want to hear the truth, because we know that your truth will set us free. We just ask, Father, if there's anyone here today that has any need in their life, that something will be said or something will be done that will minister to their need. And because I know that is your desire. I know that is the heartbeat of God, is to minister to your creation. And so we just thank you this morning, Father. As we enter into your word, we are teachable. We have a humbleness about us, Lord, and we'll recognize and realize that you are who you say you are, and we are who you say we are. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you'd like this morning to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. You know, when the Lord spoke to me, he spoke to me last March. I was in my front yard raking leaves, getting ready for the springtime, and the Lord spoke to my heart audibly. He's only done that 3 times in all the years I've been saved, and every time it was very dramatic. And he spoke to me audibly, and he told me it was time for us to leave. And with that, he dropped in my heart a major, major message, 2 major messages that we've been preaching everywhere we go. Unless, of course, the Holy Ghost gives us some other direction at that time, or the pastor requests something different, because we always submit ourselves to the pastor. But this morning is one of those messages that I believe that is so important for the body of Christ. Because, you see, we have a big job. Look at your neighbor and say, "We got a big job." You know, you can enjoy Christianity, and you should enjoy serving God, but this is not a vacation. This is our job. We're called to certain things. We're called here for a purpose. You know, a number of years ago, I was just meditating and thinking about heaven. Anybody ever been to heaven? Some hands go. Praise God for truthful hearts. Anybody ever been to heaven? I'm looking. Once in a while, you run across somebody that said they've been there, you know, and praise God. You been to heaven? Praise the Lord. Well, did you like it?
The peace.
Do you want to go back?
Yes.
Okay, all right. That's a good testimony. Yes. How many want to go to heaven? Yes. You mean to tell me you want to go somewhere that you've never been before, yep, and you're willing to commit your whole life to do that?
Yep.
You know, I haven't been to heaven, but I have read the brochure. And it sure makes me want to go. It's just awesome there, apparently, and I can't hardly wait to get there. And then there's another subject that I was thinking on, and they kind of intersected that day, and I was thinking about how much God loves us. And you know, He loves us so much that us ministers stumble over ourselves trying to get the message across to humanity how much God loves them. And the best we can do is that He gave His only begotten Son so that you could spend eternity with Him. And then I got to thinking, now wait a minute. Heaven's so wonderful. You love me so much. Why am I here? It just doesn't seem to go together with me. If you love me so much and heaven's so wonderful, why am I not there? And God, this real sweet, said, well, you're not the only one I love. Oh. So you can see we're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason, for if it's just a matter of heaven and God loving you, the moment you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you'd be out of here. But we didn't leave here, did we? So that's some things I want to talk to you about today. In Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start reading at verse 22 and 23, and I'm sure you're familiar with these verses, and you know, and Paul's prayers here and the things he's got, it's hard for me to find a beginning place to read. So when you go home today, if you want to read all the way from the first verse to here, that's fine. But we know that this is talking about Jesus. And it says in verse 22, and He has put all things under His feet, given Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and all. Now today I want to talk to you about the fullness of Him. The fullness of Him. Notice it says, He's the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him. We could just simply say the church is the fullness of Him. Or the entirety of Him. And so I want to talk to you about that today, and we'll get back to these verses in a few moments, but I want to lay a little bit of a groundwork, a little bit of foundation here to help you understand, because when we're through today, I believe you're going to understand just how important you are in the scheme of things and in the plan of God. You know what? God cannot do everything He wants to do without you. Look at your neighbor and say, God's got to have you. Now, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, it appears like there's a totally unrelated verse here to what we've said, but let's just read that. Matthew 28:20. Jesus here is closing His statement concerning the Great Commission, and He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, you know, a lot of times people, they get discouraged and they have the temptation to feel all alone. And someone may take them to this word, this scripture right here and say, well, look, Jesus said He would be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And you know, that brings great comfort to us. That brings great confidence to us because we know we in reality are never alone. Then over in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, there's just a confirmation, a confirming statement here. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Oh, my. In the test of life and the difficult times, we can draw great strength in the fact that he said he would never leave us and never forsake us. Have you ever been reading the Bible and you come along and you say, well, wait a minute, that sounds like just the opposite of what I read the other day. You ever read anything like that? But if you haven't, you're going to right now. Turn to John chapter 16, verse 7. The Lord told me a number of years ago, he says, anytime you read two scriptures and they appear to contradict them, contradict one another, just mark it down. Your understanding of at least one of them is wrong. Probably both of them, but I mean, your understanding of at least one's wrong because God doesn't get mixed up. He remembers what he said and he got it right the first time. There were no rewrites of the Bible, you understand. God didn't come to Moses and say, scrap those first five books, let's start over. He got it right the first time. Now, in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus is speaking. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. Now, Jesus sounds to me like he's having a brain freeze or something here because he just got done telling people he was never going to leave them, never going to forsake them, and then turns right around and says, I want to tell you boys something. It's going to be better because I'm getting ready to get out of here. Now, which one of those statements is right? Oh, both of them? Well, then we're going to have to find out what he's talking about, aren't we? We're going to have to find out. And you know, have you ever thought about, you know, walking with Jesus for at least 3.5 years, seeing the fishes multiplied, the bread multiplied, the dead raised, you know, walking on the water, casting out devils, seeing the healing. I mean, you know, they had an awesome time. I've even heard people say, oh, I would have loved to live in the day of Jesus. Well, it had been an adventure, I can tell you that right now. It had never been a dull moment. But yet Jesus looked at his followers after them having experienced all of that and said, you know, it's going to get better because I'm leaving. I can just see a puzzled look on their face. Probably one of the few times that Peter was speechless. Well, you see, Jesus had insight. He knew more than they knew. And indeed, it was about to get better. He told them why it was going to get better, but I think he says, for if I go the way of the Comforter, Holy Ghost, will not come, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. You understand that when Jesus was here on the earth, you know, it's like he had three sides. He was a man, perfect one, but he was a man. When he was on the cross, he said, I thirst. Well, does God get thirsty? I don't think so. Son of God get thirsty? I don't think so. But man does. So that was the man Jesus talking on the cross. Okay? And then, you know, whenever Jesus said, I'm going to go away, that was the Son of God talking. Because he come, he's the Son of God, now he's going to leave. He's seated at the right hand of the Father God right now, and we're glad. Because he ever lives, makes intercession for us. And because he's there, we have the assurance that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. You know, and so as the Son of God, he said, I'm going to leave. But as God, he said, I ain't going nowhere. Hello? God had invaded the earth. Emmanuel. God with us. And God said, I ain't leaving long my people down here. Jesus said, Son of God, I'm going to go back, but I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And he's going to pick up where I left off. Like a relay race. You know what a relay race is? That's where several people run this race, and each one has their portion, and they hand off the baton. Well, Jesus had done run his 33.5 year race, and the Holy Ghost comes on, and Jesus hands the baton to the Holy Ghost, says, here you go for it, Holy Ghost, and you continue what I've done. Yeah, so he said, I ain't going to leave you. God's not going to leave you, but Jesus said, I'm going to go away because I have a new assignment. Okay, now we're talking about the fullness of him. We're talking about the church being the fullness of him. And so Jesus said in John 14:16, I will pray the Father, he'll give you another, a comforter, and he will abide with you forever. He will abide with. How long is he going to be here? forever. You can always count on the Spirit of God always going to be here. Now, you know, primarily, He's here because He's in you. Now, we know that God, you know, He's everywhere. Just reach out and grab a handful of God. But in reality, what He's really saying is that this Spirit of God that is going to come, this Holy Ghost, this Comforter, He's going to come and He's going to be with you forever. And in one place, Jesus said, you know, He has been with you, but He shall be in you. So we understand now that you, the believer, how many, we got any believers here? I'm taking roll. Jesus is writing down all your names. Okay. All right, we got believers here. Okay, the believer has now become the dwelling place of the Spirit of God on this earth. We're called the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so you see that what Jesus did was just the beginning. He was a trailblazer. He started the work of the Holy Ghost working through Him. And even to the point He was bold enough to speak to His followers and said, you know, the things that I have done, you shall do also, because I'm going to my Father. Whoa, I think we, the church, I think the believers, I think we have really fallen rather short in being what Jesus really said we would be able to do. You know, He's not talking to preachers. He's talking to creatures. New creatures. New believers. Born again people. People who now possess the same Spirit that He had. You understand that Jesus, though He was God, though He came and had all the attributes of God, He neglected or refused to perform any supernatural feats until He was anointed with the same Holy Ghost you can be anointed with. And He did that as an example. Yeah, He could have done it, you understand. But we would always say, yes, but He was God. Well, people say that all the time. But He didn't do that as God per se. He did that as a man, a perfect man. Oh, let's me out. Anybody been washed in the blood? A perfect man anointed with the Holy Ghost. That's how He did it. So He said, now here's how you guys are going to operate. You're going to let this Holy Ghost come upon you, and you're going to continue doing what I've been doing. We have an assignment. We have a job. So it said the Comforter will abide with you forever. And so we understand then that though heaven's wonderful, and though God loves us, We're in a transition time. We're in a employment time. Actually, there is no such thing as unemployment in the kingdom of God. He don't lay people off. He just pays bonuses. Anybody looking for a job? Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 now that we see that something of a supernatural manner has taken place, and that the Holy Spirit now has come, and He's the one that's going to abide with us forever, and that we saw that the church is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. All right, Ephesians 1:22. I want to read this from the Amplified Bible, the 23rd verse particularly. Says, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all, for in that body lives the full measure of Him, who makes everything complete, who fills everything, everywhere with Himself. Whew. In that body lives the full measure. I'm looking at the fullness of Him right now. The fullness of Him. The Message Bible says the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which He speaks and acts and by which He fills everything with His presence. Now, don't revert back to the old religious idea that this building is the church. This building is a place real convenient for the body of Christ to get together. And you know, bodies that are severed, that parts are removed from one another, are not real beneficial. So it's real important that the body come together. We'll get into that a little bit later. Look at your neighbor and says, you and I together are the fullness of him. We can see that the church and the body of Christ is one and the same. In other words, it's just a different name for the same entity on this earth. The church is the body of Christ. Anybody belong to the church? Then you're the body of Christ. Or at least, I should say, you're a member of the body of Christ. Okay? And so we need to understand then that if you're a part of the body of Christ, you're a part of something big. You know, just in this town this morning, I have no idea how many churches are here, but there are people, thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people getting together today in the name of Jesus. And then you press that on around the world and you got millions and even billions of people. And they're all, if they're born of the Spirit of God, they're all a part of this great body of Christ that is fulfilling everything. But you know, God knew that it'd be real hard for us to get together with those billions of people. How many people does the field over here for the football game going to hold? You know? 67,000. That'd be a pretty good sized church. That'd be a pretty good sized church. But if you try to get everybody in the world together, it would be so inadequate. Okay, so God said, I'll tell you the best thing to do is that we have local churches. We have churches in locations so that they can get together on a regular basis so they can do what I've called them to do. And so we minister and talk primarily not about the universal church, but about the local church. Not the loco church. The local church. I think I've been to some of those churches. This is not one of them, by the way. So we can see God's presence on the earth today is through the church or through the body of Christ. You know, if we're not real careful, we'll have this concept that the Holy Ghost is out here and yeah, he's everywhere. But we just think about, oh, he's out there and you know, and that's the presence of God. No, the presence of God that God is interested in and that God is using is in his people, in his believers. So that when we dismiss here today, you see, God goes everywhere. You know, and he's not just floating around in the cloud somewhere. He's actually in somebody who can express his nature, who can express his goodness, who can express his love, who can speak for him, who can act for him, who can move for him. And that's you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you now. I can tell. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 12, just for confirmation, he says, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works I do, shall he do also and greater. Praise God. I tell you what, we ought to be raising the dead. We ought to be casting out devils. We ought to be seeing the sick healed all the time. So, well, you know, we had three people healed at church here. They praise God. That's great. How about getting some healed at work? How about getting some healed at the grocery store? So, I'd just be too embarrassed to talk about Jesus at the grocery store. Well, that's where they're at, you know. Hello? I said, that's where they're at, you know. Yesterday, we went down to Seattle, down to the market. That was the experience. And you want to know where they're at? They're at the market. And maybe you were at the market yesterday and you're here today. And we're so glad you're here. But most of the time, you have to go where they're at. That's what Jesus did, you know. Yeah, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he didn't rest the other days. I mean, you know, he was out there doing his thing, living his life, expressing the goodness of God everywhere he went. And that's what our job is. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, it gets a little more direct and a little more honed and zeroed in on you. And that's who I'm talking to. You. No. Don't look at that person beside you now. I'm talking to you. Okay? Quit elbowing your husband. Because I'm talking to you. Okay? It says in 1 Corinthians 20 or 12, 27, now you, see, that's who I'm talking to. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. You're the body of Christ. And you know, we hear that so much that I think we get so accustomed to those words, they lose their forcefulness in our life. You know, as Christians, we have our Christian jargon that we use. You know, and we'll go, even a lot of times when we're witnessing to somebody. And I remember hearing a story one time, this person went up to this little kid, this teenager said, you know, have you ever been saved? And he says, sure have. He says, well, tell me about it. He says, well, when I was 3 years old, I fell into the pond and my dad pulled me out. Can't argue with that. But that wasn't what they meant, you understand. And so a lot of times we have to explain things a little on their level. And so we can see here that we are the body of Christ and members in particular. The Amplified Bible makes it real clear. It says, now you collectively are Christ's body. Now you can right now look around. Just go ahead. I don't want your head going 360 degrees because we'll have to cast something out of you if you do that. But just look around. You collectively or together are the body of Christ. And individually, you're members of it. You're members of it. Each part, severally and distinct, each with his own place and function. Say to yourself, I have a place and I have a function in the body of Christ. You see, the Lord shared this with me some time ago. He says, you preachers, and that's just the way he said it, says, you preachers have done a great job in teaching people that they need the church. And how many knows you need the church? I mean, where better to go when you got a problem than to go with God's people where you can be ministered to? And so we do need the church, obviously. But he said, you haven't done nearly a good enough job in teaching people that the church needs them. I'm going to let that settle down a little bit because that's almost a foreign thought to many people. Do you mean the church needs me? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you need your little toe? Well, I mean, just break it off and put it on the altar. Or maybe, better yet, take your tongue and put it. It won't go there. We done went there, didn't we? Okay. Yeah. And so you can see that you have a part, a very vital part, and the church needs you and needs your part, needs your function in order for it to be what it's supposed to be. Now, a lot of people, they feel like they can serve God. They don't need the church. And, you know, I can serve God on my own. I can make it on my own. But it's kind of like this story I heard. You may have heard this. I got this off of Mr. Tony Cook's website. But it's entitled, Trying to Do the Job Alone. And we can just try to apply this spiritually, but this is a natural story of what happens to someone when they try to do the job alone. Maybe you're trying to serve God all by yourself, and you don't need your brothers and sisters, and you don't need to get together. Well, just kind of apply this. It says, Dear Sir, I am writing in response to your request for additional information for my insurance claim. In block number three of the accident claim form, I wrote, trying to do the job alone as the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain the statement more fully. I trust the following details will be sufficient. I am a bricklayer by trade, he said. On the date of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new six-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had about 500 pounds of bricks left over. Rather than carrying the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley which was attached to the side of the building at the sixth floor level. Securing the rope at the ground, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, loaded the bricks into it. Then I went back to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of bricks. you will note in block number 22 of the claim form that my weight is 150 pounds. Due to my surprise of being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, as I proceeded up the side of the building at a very rapid speed, in the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains my fractured skull and collarbone. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until my fingers of my right hand were two knuckles deep in the pulley. By this time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of the bricks hit the ground, and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel then weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer again to the information in block 22 regarding my weight. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building, and in the vicinity of about the third floor, I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the two fractured ankles, the lacerations of my legs and lower body. This second encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell onto the pile of the bricks, and fortunately only three vertebrae were cracked. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks in pain, unable to stand, and watching the empty barrel six stories above me, I again lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope. The empty barrel weighed more than the rope. So it came down upon me and broke both of my legs. I hope I have furnished information sufficient to explain why doing the job alone was the cause of the accident. So you just don't want to try to serve God all by yourself. You may get into big trouble. And God never intended for you to serve God all by yourself. Unless, of course, you are on some deserted island someplace and you're the only person there. God intended for this to be a body situation, a family affair, you might say. And so you need the church. The church needs you. We're talking about the fullness of Him. We're talking about you, the church, being the full expression of Jesus on this earth today. That when the people want to see Jesus, they look at you, and guess who they see? I remember in the Gospels, there was a time some people come to Jesus' followers, and they made this statement, "We would see Jesus." Well, you know, that's still a current statement. People are still wanting to see Jesus. And He is here, you know. Oh, the man is there, but He is here in His body. I remember when I was a real young Christian, I was reading in the Bible, you know, and found out that Jesus was the head and the church was His body. And I remember having a humorous thought. Jesus must sure have a long neck. Well, however you want to think about it, He's still hooked up with us by the Spirit of God. And He's still desiring to do what He did before through you. Through you. And I know we're accustomed to ministers laying hands on people and praying for people, and they ought to be able to. They're believers. And they have an anointing to be a minister, you understand. Not everybody is anointed to get up here and carry on like I'm carrying on this morning. Okay? But you're anointed to do something. You have a part. You have a function. You have a place in the body of Christ. You have an occupation. You have an assignment. You have a purpose for being here. Praise the Lord. The Living Bible says, now here is what I'm trying to say. This is 1 Corinthians 12:27. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part. I like that. Necessary. You know, for years and years and years, the church, the Christians, the people of God, we have been fed a false humility doctrine. Oh, I'm just nobody. And I'm nothing. And you know, I ain't anything I can do. And I sure wouldn't want to think I could do something, because if the minute I start thinking I could do something, you know, pride comes before a fall, you know. Well, if God says you're something, then what are you going to do? Disagree? That's pride. I'm going to say that again. If God says you're a certain thing and you disagree with Him, that's pride. It takes a humble man to stand up and say, bless God, I'm healed. It takes a humble man to say, bless God said I'm prosperous. I guess I'm prosperous.
Amen.
I know people say, well, I wouldn't say I'm prosperous because I receive a lot of persecution. Well, that's pride.
Yep.
I hadn't intended on preaching on pride, but I guess I did. Necessary. You're necessary. What does necessary mean? It means essential, needed, required. Whew. Compulsory, indispensable. Now, don't get haughty and puffed up.
Bless God, I am indispensable.
No, your part's indispensable. I hope you got that. Because, you know, you can either fulfill your part or God will raise somebody else up to fulfill your part. It's your part that's indispensable. Okay? Thank you for that cheerleading section back there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Crucial. In other words, what God is saying is, I have added you to the body of Christ, and I haven't put any junk in there, no warts in there, no growths in there. Everything I put in there is a necessary part. And in order for my body to fulfill its full plan and full function, it takes every part doing its thing, adding its place, and then you'll see great and mighty things. How many want to see a mighty move of God in your church and in your town? Praise God. God wants to see it too. That's why He's adding people and stirring them up to fulfill their place. It's not a preacher thing. It's a body thing. Hallelujah. The body of Christ will not be complete without you. It will function. A lot of churches doing a lot of good things in the world today. Few, if any, are completely fulfilling the plan of God that God has for them. Why? Because there's still some parts need to be motivated. Still some parts need to be stirred up to step into their place. You say, well, what could I possibly do? I'm not talented. You know how to shake hands? You know how to say hello? I like what Elaine said Friday night. I don't remember. I can't quote it. But she said, you know, you can say hello. And you can say, and you know, God will anoint you, didn't he? And you say, how you doing? Good morning. Oh, good to have you here. And you go home saying, I can't believe I said all that stuff. Well, see, whatever your part is, there's an anointing on you to fulfill it. And I believe in the anointing. I mean, just this morning, I'm up in the pastor's office, and I said, oh, God, if you don't do something this morning, ain't nothing going to happen here. I can tell you that right now. Because it's His anointing that destroys the yoke. It's the Spirit of the living God that ministers to people. He just uses vessels. He just uses people that are committed to Him enough just to get up and say, okay, here I am, God. What are we going to do today? And He'll say, do this, do that. And you say, wow, look at the results of that. And people just think you're wonderful. And you know better. You know who did it. You know it was God that did it. So churches are functioning today and things are happening, but God wants a full fulfillment of His plan and purpose. The church needs you to fulfill its assignment. And then one more thing I want to share with you. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, there's a scripture that pastors love. As a pastor, I love this church because this is get people to go to church scripture. And every pastor believes people ought to go to church. You believe people ought to go to church? Oh, okay. All right. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I'm in good company then. I didn't want to get in trouble. By the way, Pastor Jan told me this morning, just go ahead and just whatever's on my heart, and if I messed up, he'd fix it. So you're in good hands? You're in good hands. I mean, make sure you come back next week so he can fix all the stuff I messed up. Okay? No, praise the Lord. So we can see here in Hebrews 10:25. Turn there. Hebrews 10:25. I'd use this, and ministers do use this because it has a strong message. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another in so much and so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, here we see, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and or whoever wrote it, they were having challenges then to get people to come to church. That's not a new phenomenon. It's not a 21st century deal, okay? And so he wrote, he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. There's some people that need to be going to church who wasn't going. Okay? And he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Well, that's still true today. Don't forsake the assembling. Other translations says, don't quit meeting together. Don't quit meeting together. What does it mean? There's a word here that I want to look at that I think we've overlooked. Well, you know, how many knows you can show up, and that's a necessary step. I mean, we have to show up. Someone said to me, well, what could I do in the church? I said, well, you could come. That would just thrill me. Showing up would help me a lot. That's a good step in the right direction.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And who can tell, you might hear something there that'll inspire you to do something. Anyhow, what are we not to forsake? The assembling of ourselves together. And the Lord pointed out to me some time ago this word assembling. And I got to thinking about that. And you know, this is, January 22nd? Just less than a month ago, we celebrated the Lord's birth by giving everybody presents but Him. I never could quite figure that out. But I liked it. I enjoyed it. Anyhow, we give these gifts. And I know whenever our daughter was young, we'd buy her this stuff. You know, we'd open the box and it'd say, solemn assembly required. I thought, oh God. You know, and you know, maybe you had some stuff you gave your kids, you know, and they opened them up, you know, and they may not be using them yet. Because someone hasn't taken the time to put them together. All the parts are there. We could bring a box in here. Matter of fact, I've thought about this a number of times. This, go down to the hardware store and buy a bicycle. You know, and bring it in here, and on the side it'll say Huffy or something, Swin bicycle. And just challenge somebody to come up here and ride it. And it's, well, you can't ride that. What's a bicycle? It says it's a bicycle. So we take it out of the box. There's the frame and the wheels and the chain and whatever else, the seat and handlebars. Now who wants to ride it? Can't ride it. Is it or is it not a bicycle? It is, but it's not functional. It's all together. It's all in one place. All the parts are there. And many times I think that's what happens to our local churches is we do show up. Praise God. But we got to get put together. We got to have every part in its right place. One part in relationship to the other parts. And guess what? We can start peddling that thing. We can cause some things to happen that God's been wanting to do all along. Things that's in our heart, in your heart, things you're longing to see, the hunger that's on the inside of you for a great move of God will begin to happen as each part finds its place, making a difference. You know, on that chain, on that bicycle, there's a little deal somewhere on that chain that's called a clip. And that's where the chain is put together, and there's a little springy thing that goes around there. And it holds that chain together and keeps it from coming apart. Now, if it didn't do its job, it's possible you could put that bicycle together and be heading down the street, and all of a sudden the chain come loose. Unless you got handbrakes. If you got the kind that you pedal backwards to stop, and the chain comes off, you might as well be the guy with the barrel. You're getting ready to fill out an insurance form. I can tell you that right now. And all because a little part that really, if you don't understand some mechanical things, could have been discarded and not even used, but because it wasn't there, it didn't function properly. What am I trying to tell you, precious person, today? You are so important to the plan of God. Every one of you are so important to the plan that God has for this church right here in this community. And you can find what it is God wants you to do. Some of you know. Oh, I'm blessed by the choir, blessed by the music, blessed by the ushers, blessed by the greeters. People, I know a lot of people working in this church. And I praise God for that. But there's probably some that have not found their place yet. And there are people here that will be glad to help you find your place. Be glad to give you some direction. Say, well, if you're not sure, why don't you try and doing this? You know, I was really glad when I got here that the lights were turned on. I was even glad that it was, you know, that it was nice and warm in here. And, you know, and I found out after pastoring 26 years that if somebody don't turn the lights on, they don't come on. So somebody did that today. Let's all say, thank you.
Thank you.
Somebody turned the heat on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Those things are so vital. And you know, and I don't know how it is here in the summertime or whatever, but I assume you got some yard work to do out there. You got things. There's a lot of work goes on in a local church. It takes a lot of people. But you know, if everybody finds their place, no one's overworked. No one burns out. And then that just opens up the windows of heaven. And allows the Spirit of God to begin to pour out. And lives are transformed. Lives are changed. I want to commend you. You do have a great church here. A great church starts with good pastors and good people. And I commend you. I am impressed. I know the Lord is well pleased with what's going on here. But He's taken us to another level. And it has to do with you being in your place, fulfilling your assignment. You can have a sense of accomplishment. Every time someone comes here and is born again, you say, well, bless God. I want you to know I pulled weeds in that parking lot. And I'm responsible and I have credit coming to my account because somebody got saved. At our church Sunday morning. I want to commend you. But I want to challenge you. Great things are ahead. God has great things planned. For by His Word. Great things planned. And He can't do it without you. Matter of fact, He refuses to do it without you. He wants you involved. He loves to see His kids get involved in what He's doing. Could you bow your head with me, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love You. And we praise You. And I thank You for this church. I thank You, Father, for every person, Lord, that has found their place and fulfilling their place. Thank You, Lord. Could we have some music? Is there someone coming to the music? Bless Your name. Bless Your name. Bless Your name. Bless Your name. Hallelujah. Lord, I just shared my heart this morning. And I just believe Your Spirit has taken it and touched every individual in this place. And if they have not found their place, Lord, just open their understanding. Help them to comprehend how vital they are, how precious they are to You. And either directly speak to them or send someone across their path or send them to someone that can direct them in the right way. How they can help, how they can add, how they can be a part of what's going on. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. You know, I have found myself through the years, I almost always preach and teach to to the local, to the church. I used to think there's something wrong with me because before I was called to the ministry, every time I'd get up in church to testify or something, it was always to the church, and everybody else talking about getting saved. Well, it's important to get saved, I tell you. But this morning, we've ministered to the church. There could be some people here this morning that you're not part of the church. You're not part of the body of Christ. We're not talking about you being a part of this local body. We're talking about you being a part of Jesus Himself. What I'm saying is you have never received Him into your heart. You have never committed your life to Him and received His gift of eternal life. And I want to tell you, this stuff I've preached this morning is real important, but nothing is more important than you finding Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. That's what it's all about. That's the bottom line with God, is seeing people delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And if that's speaking to you right now, with an uplifted hand, you would indicate to me, yes, I need to receive Jesus today. I need to have Him in my heart. I want Him, and I want to pray with you. Would there be anyone lift up your hand this morning, indicating to me that I want to receive Jesus? I want to receive Him. I'm looking over the congregation. Any hands? Nothing more important is going to go on here today than what I'm doing right now. This is the most important part of this service, or any service, when people can receive Jesus, receive eternal life. Is your life a mess? Is everything caving in on you? You just don't know which way to turn? Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. He's the answer. He's the solution. He said, I've come that you might have life. Have it more abundantly. You know, when Jesus spoke that, He was not talking to people in the cemetery. He was talking to people like you and I, who thought we had life. But Jesus said, I've come to give you a life you have not experienced before. If you haven't experienced that, lift up your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Any hands at all? We're not going to belabor it. We want to make sure you have that opportunity to receive Him in your heart and in your life. I see a hand. Yes, I do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can put your hand down. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else want to lift up your hand? Say, I want to receive Jesus. I want to receive Him in my heart. Don't let this day pass. Don't go another day, another hour, another moment without having peace in your heart and peace in your life. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't turn Him away today. Don't say no again. He's extending His hand of love to you. Ma'am, I'm going to ask you that raised your hand, if you would come up here and let the pastor and I pray with you and help you find what you're looking for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. God bless you, ma'am. I'm so glad you came. He's been working on you. I'm sure He has, because He loves you. You know what? You're worth it. He wants you and His family. Hallelujah. Just pray this prayer with me. Have your hand. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I thank you.
For dying for me.
I receive you right now.
I receive you right now.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
I believe in my heart. That you've risen from the dead. I receive eternal life. And become a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Right now, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You want to take her and pray with her? You would go with this young lady here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Someone said, do miracles happen in the church today? Uh-huh. You just saw one. You say, well, I didn't see anything happen. I want to tell you, something just happened on the inside of her that only God can do. And if you're a Christian, you have experienced that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And I tell you what, you want to make my day, you just let that happen. We love to see great and mighty things happen in the body of Christ, but nothing, absolutely nothing, is more important than what you just witnessed. A life being rescued from the powers of darkness and changed by the miracle working power of God. Got one more thing I want to present you with this morning. You know what we preached on? You find in your place. I can't emphasize, and I always feel like I fall so short in emphasizing how important you individually are. It's so easy for us to think, yeah, all the other people are important. You individually are important. And the body of Christ will never be complete without you fulfilling your place in it. However insignificant you may think it is, God needs it. And He's calling you to it. And what I just like to do this morning, if you, number one, if you don't know your place yet, but you're wanting to know your place, I just want you to stand up. You don't know your place, but you want to know, I just want you to stand up. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just going to pray over you. I'm going to leave you stand right there, but I'm going to pray over you. Hallelujah. And we're going to deal with the rest of the people here in just a minute. Hallelujah. Anybody else? You don't know your place, but you want to know. I mean, you may be sitting and saying, well, I don't care about my place. Okay, then come back again some other time. We'll preach again. Okay? But, hallelujah. Glory to God. Go ahead and stand up if you want to know your place. Because you see, you're vital. You're important. God has got great confidence in you, in trusting you with part of His plan. Father, I pray over these individuals that are standing right now. They have stood indicating. They know they have a place. But they're not sure what that place is right now. And I just ask you by the power of the Holy Ghost to quicken in their heart. Show them exactly where they need to be and what their part and their place is in this great body that you've raised up here. I thank you, Father. They have something to add. Oh, they have something to give. And I praise you for that. And I thank you for revelation knowledge that comes into their heart and comes into their life in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you know your place, if you know your part, I want you to stand to your feet. Now, you folks that stood up a moment ago, you can stay up. Because I believe now you know. You say, well, I don't have it in my head. You may not have it in your head, but it's coming. Because God answers my prayers. Amen. You know your place. I'm going to get up here where I can see you. You sure are pretty people. I enjoy looking at you. Amen. You know your place. Glory to God. Father, I just pray for an increase of anointing on each and every individual that's standing right now. I just pray, Father God, for supernatural understanding and comprehension, supernatural insight, divinely inspired ideas that will enable them to fulfill the place that they are in this body in a greater capacity and more effective. And I just thank you, Lord, for this great group of believers that you have drawn together here in this church, and that together they're going to see the mighty works of God accomplished before their very eyes. And this community is going to be shaken even greater than it has already been shaken as they flow together, as the spirit of unity increases, as they begin to realize they're a part of something far bigger than they are, and they're determined to add their part. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a part. How about you? Praise God. Glory to God. Well, let me encourage you to come back tonight, even if you have to come late. Come back tonight. Amen.